Galatia. This is, well, look at chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither of man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Most of the Pauline epistles are written to a church, the church in Corinth, or the church in Ephesus, or the church at Philippi, Philippians. Galatians is written, Galatians would be like St. Mary's County. And the churches there that Paul started, he said, I want what God is giving me to inspire and write here, I want it read in all of the churches. And this is one of the few books that's written to churches, plural, to be read. Remember now, as you read through the Pauline epistles, they are in the order God put them that way for your spiritual growth. You read Romans and you learn what? What happened when you got saved? It describes all of the doctrines of salvation. Then, the next book you read, 1 Corinthians, the most carnal church in the whole New Testament, and it's a book of no-nos. So what do you learn when you get saved? You start learning there's some things God wants you to stop doing. There's some things, if you're participating in, God says don't do that. So you read 1 Corinthians, then to 2 weeks ago, we looked at 2 Corinthians, and what's the theme of 2 Corinthians, the ministry? Once you're saved, and God starts working in your life, what's the first question every Christian starts asking? Can I serve the Lord? Where can I give of myself? I want to serve. And 2 Corinthians, the key word is ministry, and it shows the sacrifices to the degree you serve is the degree you sacrifice. Okay, and in the ministry, there are tremendous sacrifices for seasoned soldiers. Okay, and so 2 Corinthians tells us why we do what we do. Now we come to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, see, when you read Romans, you were taught salvation by grace. You're saved by God's grace. You didn't do anything to earn it. You can't do anything to earn it. It has nothing to do with the law. Salvation's by grace. When you come to Galatians, you're now going to be taught you are sanctified by grace, or set apart, or God grows you spiritually the same way He saved you. You know that plan of salvation? We're all sinners. We deserve to go to hell. Jesus died. It's on the gospel track, right? Four steps to, some use five, but either way, we're all sinners. We deserve to go to hell. Jesus died for us. If you'll accept Jesus and put your trust in Him, He'll save you, right? Did you know that plan of salvation, if you modify it slightly, it's the same way you grow? You get saved by realizing you're a sinner and on your way to hell, and Jesus is your only hope, and you put your trust in Him. Guess how you grow? You realize you're a dirt bag, and you can't do it without Him. And He's the only one. Without me, John 15, ye can do what? Yep. Nothing. And if you want to grow, it'll be because you, now that you're saved, you trust the Lord to help you grow. And what they were doing in Galatia is they were starting to tell the Christians there, the Jews were coming in, they said, well, you're saved by trusting Jesus, but you keep yourself saved by your works. And God says you can't do that. See, one of the most wonderful equations for salvation is this, and I hope you remember it, and you've heard me say it before, but Jesus plus nothing equals heaven. You need to remember that. And Jesus plus anything equals hell. I got to witness to a lady on Wednesday. And when I told her that, I said, Jesus doesn't want to be one of your saviors. He wants to be your only savior. It's not Jesus plus you going to church, plus you reading your Bible, plus you trying to live a good life. It's Jesus only. And unless you trust Him and Him only, you will die and go to hell. The book of Galatians, the Christians were starting to mix grace. And where does the law fit in? You get saved by Jesus, and then you keep the law to keep yourself saved. We don't believe that, and this book corrects it. Now, if you're trusting Jesus to save you, but you're trusting you to keep you saved. In other words, if you believe you can lose your salvation, who are you trusting in? You're trusting in Jesus plus you. That's why I don't think every Pentecostal person's lost. I have a Pentecostal background. But when you dive into, so you believe you can lose your salvation. Oh, yeah. Then I say what I just said to you. So who are you trusting in to save you? Is it you and Jesus, or is it just Jesus? So you got to be careful. The book of Galatians is going to show you, Romans says you're saved by grace, and Galatians is going to teach you are sanctified or grown or set apart by the same grace that saved you. Okay? Now, stay with me just for a second and we'll dive into some more material here. But when you get saved, you learn what happened. Then you start learning there's some things in your life that God says, stop. Then you start wanting to serve Him. And then when you start serving the Lord, you start getting a checklist. Well, if you're saved, bless God, you'll do what I do. You'll go soul winning twice a week and you'll be in church. I heard one preacher say, if you ain't got enough religion to take you to church, I'm just not sure you got enough religion to take you to heaven. Okay, we don't believe that. It's a nice cliche. You know what I mean? Well, you ain't got enough religion to bring you to church, bless God, you ain't saved. I know Christians that are out of church, and they're saved. But God has to work in their life, right? And if you aren't careful, Galatians is going to teach you, when you get saved, this is the danger of a legalistic checklist. Well, if you're saved, you'll do this, 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 and this. Don't ever get a checklist. And watch, there's some people, when I witness to them, they're like a Spanish fly. You can't put your finger on them. They're hopping all over the place. And they'll tell me just enough to what I want to hear. And literally, when I leave their presence, you're not saved. I don't do that. But there's some people, I'll leave their presence and I'm really wondering if they're saved. Because they're just like this. But it's not my job. The only person I know who's saved in this room is me. Amen? And I can wonder about people's salvation, but I never voice it. I don't ever go, I'm just not really sure they got it. You got to be careful about that. And Galatians will teach you, don't look at another Christian and say, they don't live the Christian life like I do, they don't serve like I do, therefore, they must not be saved. Don't do that. You want true legalism? True legalism is when you add things to get saved to the gospel. And God says here, well, let's look at that real quick. True legalism, watch this. Look at you're in chapter 1. Look at verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. First of all, what's the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You believe that Jesus died for you, was buried in a tomb, rose again for you. Not the sins of the whole world, for you. That's when you get saved. And he says, I'm amazed that you change what you believe so quickly to another gospel. He said, there's only one. There's only one. Look at verse 8. It says here, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That word means damned to hell. Look, and just in case you miss it, look at verse 9. As we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed or damned to hell. That's probably some of the strongest. That's why when somebody says, I don't believe all churches teach a false gospel, but most churches in this area don't teach you're saved by trusting Jesus and His death, His burial and resurrection. And if any man stands in front of people and says, well, it's different. God says that man is damned to hell. What does the Catholic Church teach? Seven sacraments, right? God says, if they teach anything other than the gospel to be saved, God says, let that man... Tom, you can shut that if you want. I don't know why they did that. Might have been the air or something like that. I locked that this week. God says, we're not trying to be as judgmental, but when you're looking at a church and you're saying, is this a good church or not? Ask them what they believe you got to do to be saved. And some churches don't even answer the question. They're more interested in social issues and being nice and friendly to the community, which I'm not against, but that doesn't save people. And feeding the poor, praise God, we get to give bread to everybody. That doesn't save you. That's a blessing, right? But you'd be shocked at how many churches, well, we feed the poor in the area. Well, if I feed your body and you die and go to hell, what did I give you? That's why if any man teaches anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is what saves you, let him be damned to hell. That's about as strong as it gets in your Bible. So he says, that's a legalist. That's somebody that would take the gospel and mix it with something else. Well, you got to trust Jesus too, but okay, Church of Christ. What's Church of Christ believe? You got to come to Church of Christ and get baptized by a Church of Christ pastor or you go to hell. Let him be damned to hell. That's a false teaching. And they'll tell it to, I've been around a lot of Church of Christ pastors. They'll tell it to you screaming. You're going to go to hell if you don't get baptized. I've spent hours with them. And it's sick. Very strong verses. We're a church we have standards for leadership, for Sunday school teachers. Oh, that's that gospel light. They're a legalistic church. Anytime somebody uses that term, they show their Bible ignorance. We're not legalistic because we have standards for leadership positions, like Sunday school teachers and nursery workers, bus workers. We're not, that doesn't make us legalistic. We're legalistic if we add to the gospel. And no, we're not a legalistic church. Now that I think I've tried to show you, Galatians is going to tell you, do not form a checklist. And all of us are tempted to do that because as we see people saved and we lead people to Christ, all of them don't come to church, right? I don't know about you, but that's true with me. And you get discouraged. And so the temptation is this. Well, if they really got saved, they'd come to church. Don't form a checklist. Well, if they really got saved, what do you mean you're not going to get baptized after you got saved? God says, obey him. And if you're saved, you shouldn't have a problem obeying the word of God. You don't know their background. And so, I feel this way. If somebody comes to our church and they're saved and not baptized, the Spirit of God can move on their heart through the preaching, through loving on them, through helping them, through trying to be a blessing to them. What do you mean you haven't been baptized? Careful. They may have a lot of baggage that you don't know about. And they need somebody to help them and love them and answer their questions and take time. Let's keep on moving through this. The danger of a checklist. When you're reading Galatians, the key word you could say, what word is mentioned the most? The word law is found 32 times. The word faith in 6 chapters is found 21 times. And the word free, it's interesting, 7 times. If you want a real quick outline for it, the personal, well, Paul gives his testimony about, he said, I used to persecute and waste. What a word. He said, I wasted the church of God. He persecuted Christians. He said, I was the lowest of the low. I killed Christians. And you'll see that in chapter 1. And then he says, but God saved me and separated me from my mother's womb and called me. And then, well, just show you real quick as you read here. Look at verse number 17. Verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. Now, wait a second. Jesus calls the apostles. They're with him for 3.5 years. He ascends to heaven. Then Paul gets saved, right? Paul never saw Jesus die on the cross. Paul wasn't one of Jesus's 3.5 year apostles, right? But Paul did go to Bible college. He spent, I believe, 3 years in Arabia with Jesus, just like the apostles did. It said, after 3 years. He said, I went into Arabia. He said, when I got saved, look, you can't take a Jew out of Judaism and just, he starts preaching immediately. You got it? And God did what? God revealed to him the seven mysteries of the New Testament, things that had not been revealed. Where did he do that? We'll find out when we get to heaven, but just like God showed Moses in Arabia on top of the mount, God gave the laws for Israel. I believe God took Paul. We'll find out. It doesn't say. It says Arabia. But the Mount of Moses, Mount Horeb, is in Arabia. And so I think God took Paul and took 3.5 years and gave him what he missed. Gave him what he missed. We'll find out. Now, don't... I slip my opinions in. That's nashology. Okay? All right. That's me kind of reading into it. Do I know that absolutely positive? No. But I know Paul did have a time. It looks to me like he had a 3-year break there where he took his what he learned as a Jew, and then Jesus showed him that and taught him. Now, so in chapters 1 through 2, you're going to get the personal testimony of Paul, and he's going to show you grace in the gospel. Then you're going to hit the doctrinal issue or the doctrinal section of the book in chapters 3 and 4, and that's going to be grace and the law. Now, look at chapter 3 here real quick, and I do watch the time, but watch this. He says here, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? He's correcting them now. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And he's going to start teaching the doctrine of the book. Look at chapter 5 real quick. Just look at verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, or if you think becoming a Jew, Christ shall profit you nothing. He said it's Jew or Gentile. He said you're making too much of being a Jew. Look at verse number 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Verse number 4. Christ has become of no effect of you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. He said, if you think you're saved by the law, he said, if you think circumcision, becoming a Jew, is part of salvation, he said, you have fallen from grace. I know the Bible teaches you can't lose your salvation. I know that. I don't think that. I know that. That is all the way through the Bible. You cannot, once saved, always saved, if saved. Fallen from grace, you'd be shocked at how many churches say, you better keep coming to church and you better keep doing right or you're going to fall from grace and lose your salvation. That's not what that's talking about. He said, Paul is saying, when I came to you, I preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That is salvation. He said, but now you've mixed the gospel and the law and you have fallen from teaching it's the grace of God that saves you. You have fallen back into the bondage of the Old Testament where you think that the law has something to do with salvation. And he said, you're fallen from grace. He said, I didn't teach you that. You have fallen to teaching substandard material. He said, you've mixed it. That doesn't mean you can lose your salvation. And I wanted to show you that because so many churches use that saying, better not fall from grace. Fallen from grace in the Bible, the way God uses it, means to stop teaching the freeness of salvation and go to it's Jesus plus something else and you trying to live right and you trying to do right. As you look at the practical parts of the book is chapters 5 and 6, and I want to end with that. let's go to something that helped me as a soul winner. It helped me as a Christian. Since it's Jesus plus nothing that equals heaven, and Jesus plus anything equals hell, that there's so much Bible behind that, then what is the purpose of the law, of the Ten Commandments? Then what are the thou shalt not for? What are the thou shalt for? Well, number one, I'd like you to go to Galatians 2:16. Galatians 2:16. Where does this thing called the law fit in? I hope this helps your soul winning like it helped mine. It helps me when I'm trying to talk to people about their salvation. But look at Galatians 2:16. If this isn't marked in your Bible, you need to mark it and then go back and look at it. But watch this. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Stop. What's the word justified mean? It means saved. A man is not saved by the works of the law. By your obedience to the Word of God. What's the law? Remember when we were looking at the Old Testament? The Old Testament's broken down. The first five books are called the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He said the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. He said we're not saved by that. Look at the next phrase in verse 16. It says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified or saved. Very powerful verse. You're saved the day you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Look, if you could do anything to get saved, Jesus died for nothing. Do you want to know where I get that phrase? I say that a lot when I'm soul winning. Look at the last verse in chapter 2. He says, for I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Your obedience cannot give you life. Your obedience shows your love for the Lord. But if you could do anything, it's very important that as a child of God, you understand, okay, where's the Ten Commandments fit in? Well, one, nobody can keep it all. Nobody can keep it all. If you break one of them, you broke them all. You say, I've never stolen, I've never committed adultery, and I've never killed anybody. No, you ever tell a lie? James says, you break one, you're guilty of all ten. To show you that, look at Galatians 3. Look at Galatians 3. Look at verse 10. You're going to see this as you go through. It says here, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, and he's going to quote the Old Testament, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you can't do it all, you're cursed. I don't know anybody that can do it all. I only know one. That continueth not in all things. That's the whole book. And if you break one, you've broken it all. Keep on reading there. Look at verse 11. It says, but that no man is justified by the law of in the sight of God, it is evident or proved. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Because it spoke of being a curse there in verse 10. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. So Jesus was cursed in your place. Amen? You say, well, he died for my sins. I wish you'd see it a lot more than that. Yes, he died for your sins, but he became your filth. And then he was cursed in my place. Beautiful, beautiful to think through it. Wow, there was a lot that was taking place on the cross. So what is the purpose of the law? What is the purpose? Number one, it shows us our sinfulness. I had not known the law except God said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not commit adultery. The law's first job is to show you your sinfulness. It shows you because the harder you try to keep it, the more you find yourself breaking it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to. Oh, I did it. Okay, this time, I'm not going to do it. Oh, I did it. And the closer you get to the law is the plumb line. It hangs perfectly straight. The more crooked it shows we are. The purpose of the law is to show us what a sinner we are. It shows us where we've broken God's laws. What's the next purpose of the law? Is to bring us to Christ. So you learn you're just a law-breaking, hell-deserving sinner. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 24. Galatians 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. What's the purpose of the law? A schoolmaster is a truant officer, right? They find out if you're skipping school, right? Those days are over. Kids are staying at home watching school online, help us. Okay, they're not even taking attendance in some schools because in the public schools the attendance is so bad. Where were those in my day? No, I'm just kidding. God says here the law was our schoolmaster. The law, once I learned what a sinner I was and I said, I'm on my way to hell. The law said it brought me to Christ, to the only one that could save me because he's the only one that died for me. It brought me to Christ. So I say, so it's not my faith in me and my obedience. It's my faith in, now I repent. I change my mind. It's not me that gets me saved. It's Jesus. So I can put my faith in Christ. That's the purpose of the law. Now, I could have drawn a line right here. After you get saved, the purpose of the law is to show our love for the Lord. John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? And you only love as much as you obey. That's the same thing true with any child. You only love your mom and dad as much as you obey them. And you only love God as much as you obey. You want to switch it around? You can. You only obey as much as you love. It's convicting, isn't it? Helps me, amen. But the purpose of the law is not, it has nothing to do with getting me saved. But God says, my perfection, one of the funnest parts of the Christian life is trying to love God back as much as He loved you. You'll never accomplish it. But God says, I just love to see you try. I love to see you try. Now that you're eternally saved and you'll never die and go to hell, what do you want to do? I bought you, I received you, I redeemed you, I set you free. Do you want to come back? Or do you want to do whatever you want to do? I'm free. I'm free from the law. The law is now my expression. Look, you know what's wonderful? And I got just a few minutes left. In Galatians, you learn coming to church this morning is supposed to be an expression of your love to the Lord. I didn't come to church this morning because I'm scared if I didn't show up, I was going to be, here we go, I'm phase 8 on my way to hell. I need to... Pastor, can I sleep at the church tonight? Because I just missed it this morning, and I really need to bump it back up a level. Aren't you glad that didn't... Aren't you glad that's fantasy land? No, you came to church this morning to be with God's people because you're glad you're saved. And you, Lord, I'll never love you like you love me. But I just want to try. And Lord, I'm here because you commanded me to be in church. I'm not scared of hell. I'm just trying to love you back. Isn't that wonderful? And watch this. That's when Christians grow. When Christians don't grow, you can't scare people into living right. You better keep living right. You're going to go back to the hell God saved you from. People come to church. Scared to death? You don't grow that way. Love is not perfected in fear. But perfect love casteth out fear. 1 John, right? Perfect love. I have no fear this morning. There's no fear of hell. I'm here because I get to be with God's people and I want to express my love back to the Lord. There's a couple, I hope this got you started doctrinally so that you can work your way through the book, understanding what the temptation is, knowing this. Let's look at the two practical things. Go to Galatians chapter 5. This is something, boy, I think one of the most important things you can learn in the Christian life is since you got saved, you've got the flesh. And you need to learn to recognize. It's amazing what Christians do nowadays, and they say God led them to do so, and it's really something that they wanted to do. God gets blamed for a lot of things He doesn't really have anything to do with. Well, the Lord is Lord's leading you to go to a place where you can't go to church? No, I think you want to go where you can't find a church, because it's a lot easier. Careful. You need to learn as a Christian, what does my flesh do? So I can recognize what the deeds of the flesh are and what is a fleshly act and what is a spiritual act. Because you got the Holy Ghost of God living inside you that is pulling you to the right, to do right all the time. And you also have a flesh inside you that is always pulling you to do wrong. And it's not going to stop until this boy goes to heaven one day. And this old nasty sinful flesh gets laid in the grave. So until I get there, every day is a battle. Watch this, Galatians chapter 5. I wish you'd look at this. look at verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then he's going to show you, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. So that you cannot do the things that you would. I know you want to do right. I know since you got saved, you have a desire to do right. But you have a flesh that is pulling at you all the time. Look at that. Say that. Think that. Do that. You've got a flesh that is, it's this all the time. Indian got saved. Went to the missionary and he said,
since Tonto got saved, there's white dog and black dog inside.
The missionary said, well, what dog?
He said, they always fight, white dog, black dog.
He said, what dog wins?
The one you feed the most.
In other words, you get up and read your Bible, you give the white dog strength to beat the black dog. If you starve yourself spiritually, you live in the flesh. But you have a battle going on inside you. So important to understand that. Man, I just thought when I got saved, it's amazing how much opposition. You know, there's one person that doesn't want you in church. So guess what? When it's time to go to church, there's only one person that's really, sometimes the devil doesn't have to do nothing. I'm tempted to do that. When I just lay on the couch and scratch. You've heard me say that before. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Then he's going to say the flesh has these qualifications, and he's going to list them here. But if you verse number 19, it says here, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, sex outside of marriage; fornication, that's sex outside of marriage in many forms, printed form, verbal form, and physical form. Right? Nowadays we deal with pixel form on a screen. Internet. That's fornication. Then it says here, uncleanness. That is more sexual impurity and lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, look it up sometime in a good dictionary. It means longing for the forbidden. Look it up sometime. There's a reason God uses it in your King James Bible. Looky here, verse number 20. Idolatry, putting things before God. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Fighting with people, emulations, all of these. They're wonderful words. We're not going to look at them, but you should look them up in a dictionary. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. Isn't that wonderful? Anytime I look at another brother in Christ and I want what he has, and I get angry or frustrated with them because I don't have it, that's my flesh. See how the list shows you anytime these traits are there, that is the flesh. And you have to do one thing to your flesh, and that's kill it. Because it doesn't die easy. It doesn't die easy. Look at verse number 21. Let me finish verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, that's wild parties, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean you're not saved. An inheritance is something somebody leaves for you. So if you live in the flesh as a Christian, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you lose your inheritance, what God has planned for you. But it doesn't mean you're going to hell. Does everybody understand that? Your inheritance is what you're looking forward to, what's been left to you. But yeah, I've known Christians that live in adultery. I've known Christians that get drunk. I've known Christians and they don't have any peace, right? They lost their joy. They're still saved. But you lose what you have to look forward to in heaven. It doesn't mean you're going to lose your salvation. Look at verse 22. Ready? Watch this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That word long-suffering, I love all those words. But you know how I get anytime God gives me the ability to put up with somebody that's frustrating me, I know the Spirit of God's working. Amen. Because all of us can get on all of our nerves, right? Sometimes, somewhere. And how do we get the patience to deal with each other when we don't do things each other? You know, that way. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Let Him give you the long suffering so you quit your bickering and your griping. Because ain't nobody going to die and go to hell over it. Okay, watch this. It says here, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Verse 24 ought to mean a lot to you. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. When you get up in the morning, you ought to pray, Lord, it's me against You today. And I hope You win. I want You to win. And I'm going to crucify my flesh. I don't want to be a flesh-driven Christian. I don't want to live in the flesh. I want to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. And that's only going to happen one way. Is when I die to me. And I let You live through me. There's one more. Can we hit one more? Let's do one more. Look at chapter 6. And there's many practical truths here. Restoration. Look at verse number 7. I'd like you to look at it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked or made fun of. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is the law of the universe that nobody escapes. Saved or lost, you reap what you sow. You cannot escape that. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, I just don't know why I don't have any friends. You try to shake anybody's hand? Well, nobody there cares about me. Do you care about anybody else? Then you're reaping what you sowed. And that is the law of the universe. Nobody escapes that. You reap what you sow. I hope as you dive into the book of Galatians, it's a wonderful book, helps to know the background. God bless you. Let's go ahead.